Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your creator, Sarah Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with our returning guest, Marcus Pattern. We're here to break down Here Comes the Dragon Punch and everything in between. Marcus, last time we had you on was episode 54. This is episode 397. What the hell's been up since you last been on, man? It's been, it almost feels like a year.
Has it been a year? You know,
it's probably been pretty close.
Yeah, I think the last time I was on here was it was the second issue of 13 Shots of Whiskey, and then I think I was working on the third issue, and then it was like it just kind of fell apart and stuff, and I needed to pivot. So and then I did the Containment Breach Volume 4 and then I was like, well, I was doing a lot of really dark and angry and gnarly stuff. And I thought, you know, I kind of like to go over lighter sort of affair. So I decided to come up with Here Comes a Dragon Punch, like a like shonen manga kind of dealio from back when I was a lad, and you could just have fun watching people kick other people in the face. Simpler times.
I was gonna say the energy and the atmosphere in this felt a whole lot lighthearted compared to the three deaths of Willis Waterhouse. I mean, like, you know, that was grim, that was dark, depressing. This one feels, I wouldn't say kiddish, but it feels like, you know what I mean, like that Naruto kind of esque feeling, where it's not so, the early Naruto at least, where it's not so grimy, it's not so dark and forbidden. There's a lot of fun, a lot of humor aspects in this.
Well, that's the basic, I was just trying to push that part of my career, because I think I'm quite funny. I think it's kind of one of my natural inclinations is to either be like opaquely dark and vile, or it is to just be really lighthearted and humorous. Like, and it's just like, it's just a nicer headset to be in and stuff. And I mean, it's meant to, and it's unlike the other stuff. It's not an adult comic. It's an old family. It's a family comic, like an all ages kind of comic. Like, you know, in theory, your 7-year-old could read it, and or your 75-year-old could read it and stuff like this. And it's really more of, basically that's it. Where's I going with that? So just exercising different aspects of my toolbox. Like, you know, again, like being, I think I'm quite funny. I like to think I can write quite funny and humorous dialogue and stuff, and kind of slightly more humorous and abstract and abstract scenarios and stuff. Hence the reason for why, instead of it in this tournament, there's a Great British Bake Off ripoff, because like me and my wife thought that would be really funny. So
I love at one point there was like a fight sequence with a chess match going on.
the first thing I discussed with my wife and stuff, like, how can I do this? And I had an idea, and she said, do something better. Like, and it's like, in, you know, like a, because like, obviously your first idea is never, generally speaking, your best ideas. It's like you kind of cycle through them. It's like, well, this is like Chinese chess boxing. That's pretty dope. Dope Wu-Tang song. Dope fucking concept. So like, you know, just like, and it's like, and it's just led to, it leads itself to something, a different kettle of fish. Because like, I've never composed a fight sequence surrounding a chess set before. And I didn't realize quite how difficult chess pieces are to draw, you know. And it's like, it's just an interesting kind of vibe. And then you go, and then to go from up the you know, and just, yeah, it was a more of an interesting way to take these things. And that's kind of what's my approach being with this guy. What's the interesting way that I can take this, and how would, like, and what would be like, how, what would be my natural inclination? Well, I'm not making that comic, what would be my third inclination, you know, skipping over the second one because that one was really dumb. So like the third one, oh, that's a much better kind of affair. And it's, mm-hmm. it's been how I'm approaching the writing process of this. Okay, it's like it's not so much kind of set in stone. Like, I have an idea where I'm gonna, like, I had an a basic broad idea, like we're gonna start off with introducing the characters, and then we're gonna basically end on like on either the first tournament of like a big like Enter the Dragon kind of fight sequence, or you know that's gonna be like a three like a five comic arc and stuff, and then Omar will be a massive character in that, and then Ash will be a massive character in that, and it's like as I'm progressing, so I said, well, no. If I could dense this down and blah blah blah, so it's just it's a lot more fluid in my in the way I'm in the way I'm creating it and everything. It's basically like yeah, it's just a lot more fluid. Like, cause like in the main character in this series is August, and she wasn't when I created the series. It was Omar and Ash. That's why they're dressed the way they are, because you can, you know, cosplay as them quite easily and stuff, but like they're not the, you know, not the main, you know do you remember when you first heard of The Simpsons? Oh, you won't, because you're like about 2 years old. You remember when you first heard of The Simpsons?
Okay, first of all, I grew up on The Simpsons. Yeah. I know I worshipped The Simpsons.
How old are you, baby?
I'll be 34 in August.
Maybe so, but you look so young. Okay.
It's the baby face. I know. Good skin. Yeah,
So you might remember it, but when you might just remember when The Simpsons weren't, I mean, maybe American, you don't, but like there's a kid when over here, when Simpsons was coming over here, we didn't really have them because they weren't on TV. They were like on VHSs that people got. So you didn't necessarily have access to them because they weren't on BBC Two and then on Sky and Sky One and stuff. They were ubiquitous, but they weren't on TV. So when you think, and all the merchandise was Bart Simpson. And then when you watch the program, oh, I really like Bart Simpson. Why are they focusing on Homer Simpson kind of thing? It's like, you know, like so my that's how, yeah, so that's like how my initial inclination was, like the merchandising kind of things people can pivot to and be like cosplay and everything was like, oh, it's Omar and Ash, hence the uniform. And then as I was writing, okay, so well, actually I'm more interested in what August is doing. Yeah, so like I don't know, I was specifically going with that, but that's but yeah.
You remember the first animation of The Simpsons, how they looked like the very first time they came out? Oh my goodness, it is like a world of difference.
Yeah, totally. Like, and you know, just yeah, it's really weird how like that just the evolution of,
So, you know, an interesting thing, I feel like August would be really fun to cosplay. I know you were saying Ash and Omar would be, but you know, August has like a lot of color, you know, it just feels like it would be almost, I feel like kind of like a Pokemon protagonist look.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, I designed it with a specific, like the headband is the case. Like, well, it's specifically that there is an identifier and there's the vest thing that she wears and stuff. Like it, they, I identify with like this is August attire, then this would be easy enough for you to cosplay as. Like, it's, yeah, you know, not to sound craven or nothing or mercenary, but that's literally how I'm designing a character. And would it be dope if someone at a convention walked around looking like this? Yes, it would.
Well, that also works.
Would it be for this? Yeah,
it also works too, because you're able to identify them and you give them a clear, distinctive look. So I mean, that's like, it's like two birds, one stone, right? Like you're giving them distinctive look where you can tell that's the main character in a crowd.
Pretty much, you know. I mean, you know, but yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, well, what type of story did you do in Containment Breach? I know 13 Shots of Whiskey was kind of like a Western, like cowboy approach. Like, what was Containment Breach Volume 4 for you?
It was basically like a Lovecraftian Tomb Raider dealio, in which the mining cats go and they're mining this rare metal ore and stuff, and they basically unleash a series of bugs and then, you know, horrors and stuff. And it's like about how this basically it's a really violent alien Lovecraftian sci-fi kind of thing, which was both a lot of fun to draw and also a massive ball ache, but also a lot of fun to draw. And I did have a lot of fun doing it.
So what led you? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say I've colored quite a few of my comics and stuff, and it was the first time I ever felt like like, you know what? I think I'm doing something here. This okay. isn't just me going, oh, why is this not fucking doing this? You know, just cut, like color by numbers kind of thing. Like no. I can do something here. I can make I've been watching a lot of Steven Universe, and the backgrounds on that show are just amazing. Like they're just jaw-droppingly beautiful. This case of how can I do that? And just trying to kind of like paint backgrounds as opposed to like, you know, and then just trying to come up with decent color theory and just case of like, well, if I'm going to do it, I need to do this properly and stuff, because this is an artistic showcase, because I can draw really well, not to brag, but I can. And like, I can draw violent stuff really well. I can design creature quite well, and I can do like big horror stuff, but like, can I color it? Can I make it so it looks good? Can I make the creature look both cute and fuzzy, but also like unsettling and creepy and stuff? And can I make the big bad fucking humongous thing at the end feel like a massive entity that will just like, this is it, this is the end kind of thing? Which, you know, you'll have to judge for yourself, but I like to think I pulled it off quite well. I didn't, see, but like I did.
I wanted to ask, because like I said, you know, with like a Western, and then we're going to a Lovecraftian horror, you know, grotesque, bloody, gory. Now we're in a light-mooded, you know, family-friendly, like shonen martial arts mix. Like, what led you to Here Comes the Dragon? Like, what was kind of the inspiration to begin this story? Like, this type of story, at least.
Oh, this type of story was, this type of story was because essentially I wanted to draw, this sort of started off as something else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been on my Instagram feed recently and stuff, you'll have seen there's like some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Street Fighter kind of mashup fan art, in which basically I penciled and then digital watercolored it, and it came out really quickly and stuff, but it also looked really good. I thought, if I can basically do that for an entire comic, I can, because like, I want, that means I won't be sitting here for 3 months doing the one issue going like, why is this not fucking working? If I can draw an entire page within an hour and a half, and then color it within an hour and a half, that's 3 hours of work, and I've got a page I can then run with and stuff. And you know, and then that's the initial impetus for doing the Here Comes a Dragon Punch as a thing, was like, I'm just wanting to do something quickly. And then it went from like, I want to do something cool, and then actually I quite like the idea of having like a little like kind of universe that I can play in. So it started off for the most superficial reasons. I basically wanted to draw a really quick, easy fighting comic in which I watercolored the things to get the coloring done quickly and stuff. And then like I did end not using that technique, but I basically ended up using other techniques, which both didn't added flavor, but also added time to the process. That's the initial reason for doing it, was the, I wanted to do something really quickly, and then
mm-hmm.
and it's like, and fights are generally quite quick to draw and stuff, for me anyway. So it's a case of that's where it came from. And then it's like, well, I like drawing fights. I like drawing parkour. I've written the most barest bones of like of Marvel method script, in which I basically like, these are the beats I'm hitting. There's going to be Omar's going to be running. There's going to he's going to come across Eagle and stuff. We're going to be doing wrestling and stuff. Then there's going to be some more running, and that's Omar's entire gist. Well done, Marcus. You've made 10 pages worth of comics right there. And then with Ash and Omar, it's a case of like, they're going to eat pizza because I like drawing people eating food. And then there's going to be a tournament, And then they're going to be walking through a park and skateboarding, because I like to join that too. Well done, Marcus. You've got another 10 pages right there. And then the rest kind of filled in. And now with issue two, it's kind of like, well, I've taken those initial acorns and I'm going to grow them into big oak trees and stuff. And that's how, that's essentially how it came about. It's because like I had an initial idea of like kind of a series of beats and beats and beats and beats I want to hit. And so, well, now we can go from there. So that's, and it just so happened that like the, I mean, I could have made this a lot darker. I think I was, it wouldn't have been a dramatic jump to make to put in some like kind of blood and make more gore and put swearing in and stuff. There's loads of things like it was just nicer not to be like it was just nicer to be funny than grim, you know.
Marcus had to restrain so hard not to give someone a bloody nose.
yeah. Like, it's, you know, I mean, I can do. It's a fighting comic. People can get fucked up and stuff. And I've a mate of mine told me about this martial art called Silat, which I can't remember where it comes from. But, like, I think it's either Indonesian or it's... But basically, so I think it's what the MMA people use, because... And it's really, really brutal. It's just like it's just designed to, you know, you're not only disarming your opponent, you are then fucking them up.
Yeah.
And then that's the martial art technique I'm going to be using for August going onwards. So like that will lend itself to a lot more kind of a lot more kind of violent stuff and stuff. I could really push it one way, or I could push it another way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things about having your own little universe is you can have one pocket and say, well, this is just little kind of kid friendly kind of thing, and now another universe kind of pocket we're going, I'm gonna go really hard in this. And my plan is to have like a bunch of like short little like 2-page kind of scripts that I'm gonna post up on Instagram, like using that format of kind of sliding that way and stuff, because that's quite interesting. I've never really made exactly like a daily comic strip kind of thing. I've never really done that kind of thing. So it'd be nice to play in that little sandbox too. And then I am using Webtoons, but I've never really made a comic design to be in Webtoons. So it'd be cool to use that format to tell a fighting story, which I'm not, or just a story in this universe. And then I can make that as bleak or as funny as I want and stuff. And like, you know, because like the great thing about this is like there's, because it's just basically fighting and everything. There's lots of stuff you can do. You can either be lighthearted or it can be grim. Or there's like those side characters and stuff. So it's a big sandbox that I'm quite looking forward to playing in or not playing in. So you know, that's.
You were talking earlier, martial arts can be very brutal. You know, me and my kids were enrolled in our class. We were doing a Kenpo, which is just basic fundamentals, stand up, no ground. It was just pretty much you're all standing up. But some of the techniques we learned, you know, it was shown like, hey, you could at this point, you know, stomp on this person's calf. They're probably not going to be able to walk for the rest of their life. But if you need to, if they have weapons, this is like an alternative move. So like, I don't think a lot of people realize like it's not just chops and everything. They teach you like where to stomp on a ligament to like fuck that person up from trying to kill you type shit. And it can get very brutal, and you have to be have a lot of restraint in doing this. One thing I wanted to make a mention of, like you were talking about all the different techniques that went into this, I noticed, and maybe I didn't get a chance to read Containment Breach Volume 4, but your perspectives in this just felt like it was just next level. There was a part where August was like swooping underneath a barrel, and then there was a panel following up from a different perspective of that same view, and I was like, this is so cool. This was awesome.
Thank you so much. That was one of the most difficult fucking pages to get. There's no real reference for that shot, you know. And I like this, the only reference for that shot is a side view reference, and it's just like, how do I do that? But like that was both really, 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 really difficult, but also a lot of fun to draw. That was like the second or third beat that I said, this is what I'm drawing and this is what's going in this comic and stuff. I'm glad you dug it, because it was difficult to get, but like it was also a lot of fun to draw.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's pull up the comic. We have the opportunity to pull it up and go through some of these pages together. And I think it'd be a perfect opportunity for us to check it out. With everyone that is watching, guys, there's going to be just links in the description where you can go check this out. Buy this, because you can buy this physically as well, right?
You will be able to. I was at a convention. Had my first ever convention in Glasgow on Saturday, and I wanted to have a copy of this available because my plan is not to release like individual issues, because mm-hmm. that's quite time consuming and costly, and I don't have the fucking room. So unless I was thinking of doing like in kind of like tankerbond versions and stuff. Like kind of like releasing like six like three issues as a trade volume mm-hmm. kind of thing. So but I wanted to know what the, because I've applied like a lot of filters and stuff to the color work, and I want to know what that looks like on certain paper stock. So that's why
here, well, let me get you zoomed in.
That's why this exists, because like I wanted to see how the treatment I put on the artwork looks in real life. In life, mm-hmm. I like to say it looks pretty fucking good. But this will be available on my Etsy probably next week. It's coming back from Glasgow and stuff. I've been busy doing something else. Also, I've been residually ill, and it's just really scary. Like just trying to get up the the energy to be doing anything. So I'm like, okay, life, and I want it to end. So it's kind of, and in that mindset, it's really hard to take really fancy photos of a comic to mm-hmm. on Etsy, which, I know I should soldier through these things. I'm moaning about being a lazy prick.
You're human. Anyway. You are a human, Marcus. You're allowed to be sick and be sick. I mean, give your body some room to breathe. How was that con? Give us a little bit about your experience there. You said that was your first time going?
It was really cool. I really enjoyed it. So my first time at convention, my first time in Glasgow, everybody was really, really cool. There was lots of anime cosplayers and stuff. And like,
okay.
There was none of the anime that I recognized, but they all looked fantastic. There was this piece walking around dressed as a Lino, which is like, that is pretty sick, yo. And it was really. It was really cool. That everyone there was really nice. Like the guys who were either side of me were really cool. It was just a really fun day. I really enjoyed it.
That's so awesome. I ended up going to my first con, I want to say earlier this year in March, and cons are such. It's like you love comics and you go to a con and it's just like you're filled with everyone who's just like you. It's indescribable.
I'm not sure how that that's a weird thing, because like over here it seemed like a lot more like it. I'm not sure you classify it as a comic con, as like an art anime festival that has comics there.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah,
so, not to shit upon it, but it's a case like it's that it doesn't seem, you would think after the pandemic when everyone sat down to kind of create all these comics and stuff, there would be more like, well, we're specifically here for comic conventions, but like, mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. Like, it's not, it's better to have a space full of all the artwork and stuff than have like a specific kind of thing where people just kind of like, it may be different in the States where like that you mm-hmm. have specifically Comic Con and then art fair kind of thing where comics are sold.
You know, I hear often a lot of the times anime is starting to take a lot of it over. It's just like anime is just like so popular now. And you were talking like there's a lot of cosplay you didn't recognize. It feels like there's a new anime coming out almost every other week.
Yeah, you know, it's like they're working those poor animators to death. And maybe we should give them a minute or two off.
So right here is the first page. We have our cover, which is a gorgeous cover. I love seeing all the different characters in the background. We have this ominous person right here in the corner. We get a little glimpse of them later on too. I really like that. And then one of my favorite things is I love the introduction. You give the age, what they like, what they're into. I feel like a lot of comics don't utilize on that as much as they should.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about back when our lad Marvel had the gatefold and stuff. So you got an introduction to the characters, plus you got a recap of what the comic was, like all the lore that came before it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, it's such a, if you you need to do that, otherwise you're gonna have to basically spend time info dumping on who these cats are during the story and stuff. And this is the first time we meet these cats, so this is a good, I thought this was a good way just of doing it without being didactic and everything. Mm-hmm. But you can either do it this way, in which you've got a little action, they're clearly all heading to someplace, but also I'm introducing them without them going, oh, hi, I'm Ash. Oh, hi, I'm August. Or it's just a case of just a way of introducing these people first and then having their introduction to themselves be more natural and stuff, if you get me.
So is Motown really musical perfection?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, there's no joke about that, Cody.
No.
No, I love that. Go ahead.
If you listen to the melodies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Motown is fucking amazing. Like there's music that came before Motown, and then there's music that comes after Motown. Motown is the music that basically made all music just better. Like mm-hmm. It told you, this is how one sings a melody. This is how one constructs music. Take that and run with it into the wild. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just.
And then we have our introduction to August and Ash right here. I love how, he's doing, what is that, a kickflip, heel flip?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
I love that. And then meeting right at a pizza place, August is a favorite place to eat. And then we have Omar, of course, running across on rooftops. And one of my favorite things is, these two kind of do look alike, but, Omar has the orange on the top and then Ash has the stripes, the silver stripes.
He also does, Omar doesn't have the strands flying off it. His arms.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I just love this interaction between the two. And I mean, right off the rip, we have something going down, someone popping right up. So who's this guy right here?
He's part of Ash and Omar. Omar used to be. Ash is part of a dojo that teaches the martial arts and stuff, and this would be from a rival dojo run by Mr. J.
Okay.
So he's a rival clan, dojo member.
And I love right here, it's like, no point in being a hero if you can't fight bad guys. It seems like such a true statement, and really goes to show you that things are about to get climatic. So I thought this was another interesting scene right here. We have everyone meeting up here, and this like tournament showdown was just so brutal. We have fighting, we have chess. I love the chess too. Chess is like one of my favorite activities to do outside of comics.
It's my wife's favorite, one of my wife's favorite activities. It's not something I'm particularly good at, but chess is always interesting because the strategy and everything, better than I do, but and also the little horsies look nice,
mm-hmm.
The little horsies look delightful.
You said this chess piece, some of these were tough to draw or get in the right perspective.
Both, because I've never drawn chess pieces before. It's essentially, basically, I'm not really that. It drawing kind of like straight down curve kind of things. For some reason, drawing cars is awkward and stuff. Just like you can, unless you're being really concise, constrained, it can just go like wibbly wobbly all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, you really got to know the item. Like you have to know to a detail, how to get the right, what it looks like to be able to draw something, from 2D to make it look 3D. I'm not an artist, so I can't, I give you big kudos for being able to do it. But just from an outside perspective, it just looks like it'd be so hard to do.
It is hard to do, and it is fiddly, especially since I was trying to be quick of it in this case. So if you draw certain things like a lot, you can, you know, this is muscle memory, but like, mm-hmm. you've never drawn it before, because they're like, well, that's not muscle memory, that's you learning something brand new, and you ain't gonna get it right in your first time and stuff.
And right here's what I was talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah. Being a six panel page, those pages just take forever anyway. So like, I'm gonna do this in an hour and a half. Like, no, you're fucking not. You're gonna do it in a day. No.
Yeah. Right here was that page I was talking about before, where we have August diving underneath this barrel, and then we get the different perspective right here. That was such a cool, like, just a pivot. And I love too, you know, you see him kicking the barrel right here, and then the guy in the back and just eating up by that barrel. I just kind of love how you were able to make this work.
I mean, I like this page too. I'm very proud of how it came out. And it, again, was a lot of fun to draw and stuff, you know. And again, I'm sticking this in. It was like my second or third idea, August and Ash eating pizza together. This is like, mm-hmm. well, they're gonna run up a course, like a dodging barrels mm-hmm. and stuff.
The worst thing to do after eating pizza, right? Like,
pretty much, yeah. I mean, they literally just stuffed their face full of food and stuff, and now they're competing in a tournament. I didn't think about that.
Was there like any shows or different animes that you pulled from when creating this? Like, you maybe use as an influence or reference points?
Yeah, you can, if you know. Yes, I, but I'm not going to tell you where I stole from. Otherwise, it's all that, you know. I mean, obviously, Street Fighter is as a massive influence on this. You know, Street Fighter II, the animated movie, is. That is the biggest influence on my life of any kind of cultural impact, maybe mm-hmm. Evangelion and stuff. So like stuff like DBZ and I was into the first few seasons of Naruto and there's loads of coming in there.
Naruto was one of those animes. I got into it at the end. The Shippuden. I cannot ever say that fucking word right. Shippuden. The beginning of Naruto, I watched it like halfway through, and then like realized like, oh crap, like Naruto actually starts when he was young, and it's insane to see like how kiddish and childish it kind of felt in the beginning, and then how adult it got. Like it grew with his audience, and I thought that was such an awesome thing.
I jumped a bell before that noise. The reason I was getting it was because like we still had HMV in this country in this case. And now the DVDs were like about a fire. In case of, well, I need something to watch. So like, and then once HMV went down, it's case of like, I don't need that much shit in my house. And like, it's kind of why I stopped watching Bleach as well. So in this case,
there's so much filler too, right?
In it, and like, there's only so much you can. Put up with that, yeah, and then like it's a case of I've got other things to watch and stuff, and I've got mm-hmm. you know, lives to live, you know.
I really love this too.
This panel is pure Great British Bake Off.
Oh wait, right here.
Yeah, just pure great. This was a lot of fun to draw because I've never really drawn cake this pretty before, but yeah, this is just pure Great British Bake Off.
I love how like trippy the frosting look too. Like, it almost looks like psychedelic like vibes to it.
Yeah,
that's funny. So I actually love this next page too. You know, you've done well, here's your reward. It's like poetry. But this book has a lot of great powers to it. I did not expect this, and maybe this is like what, you know, is in the future to come, but like, you know, following it, I mean, dude, he like, this right here is so cool. He like gets imbued with these flames up his arms. I love this lettering right here. Like, I roar with like this little texture right here. Like, this was such a cool panel.
That was a lot of fun to because like lettering is something I just, I mean, I told you about that when I was doing 30 Shots of Whiskey. I discovered it before, in this case of like a comic I'd done before. Like, oh, I really like doing this, and then that's why I didn't color 30 Shots of Whiskey, because I was too busy kind of focusing on the lettering and stuff, because it's a lot of fun. And then like, it's like, how can I do it and stuff? And then like, how can I make lettering more interesting? Like like the like, and then like the sparkle effects on the eye roar thing was just like, yeah, it's a lot of fun to kind of just experiment too and just play and
So is this you mentioned there was two books in this, right? Like, is this where the first book ends?
Two chapters, I guess, would be a better way of doing it. So this would be chapter one, which would be Ash and August's story, discovering the dragon flame, and then like chapter two will be Omar finding looking for the MacGuffin that he's looking for,
which I really
have a storyline for. I'm not just making up for the dog.
I really liked how on this page we ended with this, and then at the end of this we end, you know, with August doing the same thing. Like, that was one of my favorite things, and that's why I was asking, because I wasn't sure if those two chapters were in this PDF, like because I would have said that was an awesome way to kind of how you ended, you know, this page and then the last page.
Yeah, no, that might have been a bit. No, it was just a No, I just needed to close, and I think there must have been more of a reason than, like, I just thought it'd be cool to have this at the end, and I'd stuck Omar's story in between the in between this point and the last point in the
See, I was gonna say, I thought it was cool, like, how it kind of came full circle, though. Like, this was their teacher, and then, like, we end with, you know, August kind of doing the same, showing her parents like the same technique.
Yeah.
So another interesting couple pages right here, and I love just kind of how go ahead.
Do you know who really likes Hawaiian and jalapeno pizza?
Mm-mm.
Kevin Eastman.
Oh, really?
That's there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I really loved how you were, you know, tying in like just how close these two were. But I love that little Easter egg as well. That's fantastic. And then right here we have I was gonna say, we have a little shot to your previous work right here too. I just caught that. I didn't catch that at my first read.
Cool. I'm glad this has layers.
That's so cool, though. I always love seeing that. Well, utilizing billboards and signs and throwing like little nods in there, little other Easter eggs. So, is this universe within this universe, or is that kind of just like a nod to your book?
Yes, say yes.
Okay.
Let's say right. Yes. I haven't really figured that one out. Oh, by the way, in the printed version, Tracker is actually spelled correctly.
Okay. I didn't even catch that right now either.
I didn't. I didn't. Yeah. So that all spelling is correct in the printed version.
I love this too. We have Ego versus Brian, the awesome showdown right here.
Yeah. I said this is a lot of fun to draw. I mean, all this book was a lot of fun to draw. I will point out when stuff wasn't fun to draw, I guess.
So is this like a Walls of Jericho right here?
Is what?
Like a wrestling? Like what? Chris Jericho? Like Walls of Jericho?
Sharp shooter. But there will probably be a Wall of Jericho moving at some point. I've gotten back into wrestling as a slightly older man. This is surprisingly, given all the fucking legs and limbs and stuff, it's like you wouldn't expect it to be difficult to draw, but it's more tricky than you'd expect. But yeah, this is cool to draw, especially because like I spent ages trying to really push the perspective on Brian's arm, and it just did not work and stuff. So yeah. Yeah, this section was a lot of fun.
I love this too. You just show how powerful, you know, these hits are. You know, just dented the side of this van with them. Like, it's brutal. And then right here is like, bro, what the hell? Are you a child? Like, I ain't hurt no child. Like, and then I love, he's like, I ain't no kid. Like, it's such a brutal scene right here. And then smash. So I love how Brian just smash and runs. What's the importance of what he grabs here? Is that spoiler or?
Yes, it is a spoiler. I couldn't possibly tell you. You'd have to read the sequential comic books to figure that out.
Yeah. So we see Brian grabbing something.
How dare you refer that? I don't know what he's after. I do know, 100%. Honestly, it was more a case of like I didn't have an idea at the time. I have an idea now. The point was more that there was I wanted a chase sequence, and I know Omar is looking for something, and I will figure out what he's looking for and stuff, because like it's you know, as Hitchcock pointed out, like it's a MacGuffin, like, you know, the audience don't give a fuck, they want to see my man run,
and he's running. Action. And I love the pedestrian, like the random civilian right here, pissed off that Omar's using her car as like to catapult himself forward.
Yeah, that is also a surprisingly difficult reference to get. Like, you would think, like, how many images do we have of people just sliding over cars? To get like a full side-on view, nope. Like those, all awkward, really different angles. That's because it makes the car difficult to fucking draw and stuff.
I really like how you have like Brian's cape right here, kind of just showing how close Omar is to catching him. So it's like you're always trailing that little attention to detail, like showing just how close this chase is to coming. And then right here we get that ominous looking creature from the cover.
Gets the MacGuffin, really like gets this out. Page. Yeah, and I've recently had to I just drew this as a one-off panel character. Mm-hmm. And now I've had to try to figure out how I'm going to take this dope design and make it so that I can, you know, do a character turn around and put it in and draw. So like that, I might have shot myself in the foot with this one.
That like, mask, you know, is badass though.
Yeah, I really fucking like it. I was really proud of it and stuff. It's like if I was being a bit more sensible, I would have designed it off the sheet before I put it on the these things are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then right here, this I just love. We have August coming home, mommy, daddy, check out my new trick I could do, and then boom.
Yeah.
That would be something, like, right? Like your kid comes home and just like engulfs in flames. Like, what are you doing? Take that outside.
Yeah. And the next few issues will be about August learning to channel and enhance their power and stuff. And then, because like I really like the idea of the parents and everything, and so it'd be about the dad doing his best to help out his kid and everything. Because, you know, as a parent, you want to be there, like in so mm-hmm. like the idea that I'd, while also being like kind of silly, lighthearted, kind of I can also be like, well, as a father, I'd like to help my child and follow and stuff, you know. So like, so.
I love the panel breaking right here. Like, this is another thing I didn't catch on my first read, but I'm catching a little bit more clear. Like how when she's engulfed in flames, like the panel around her is like broken.
Yeah,
so cool.
Watching. Obviously, as you probably can guess, I watch quite a lot of cartoonists kayfabe, and they were going over Todd McFarlane's artist edition and stuff, and they were mentioning how he just breaks up the panels, and how he just removes stuff and just a different way of doing panels and stuff. Well, that's interesting. Instead of just having straightforward grids and stuff, I'm trying to be as varied of it as humanly possible, because it just makes it a more interesting screen, but you know.
Mm-hmm. And then we were talking backstage, so let me pull up my notepad, I want to make sure I have this right. So you released this for free as chapters on Webtoons via newsletter and art station every Friday. Also your Patreon where people can get extra behind the look scenes, such as additional like sketches and drawings like this.
This is an additional. So if you go via my Etsy and buy the digital version, you will get this as well. But if you go via my Patreon, you'll get behind the scenes as well. So like you, but whatever digital version of this you buy, you're going to get these sketches and stuff, plus like the what I was listening to as well.
I really like this. When I got to this, I thought this was such a cool thing to add, like just kind of like what your playlist. I mean, the mood you were in when you were creating this, and then your other works as well. This was an awesome experience. I love this. We got our man Ash right here doing a little bit of a grind. It looks like, what, a feeble grind? Smith grind?
Yes. You know more about
I used to be a skater.
I used to play Tony Hawk, and then I stopped. So like my knowledge, I know it looks cool. These things are a bit more superficial, and like I know stuff looks cool and stuff. So, but
and
yeah,
it's cool, but I'm at the age where if you fall, like you don't recover nearly as fast as you do when you're a teen. Like when I'm fall, I'm out for months. I had to quit because of that. Like
I vomited on Thursday and I'm still aching from it today. Like, you know, it's like just time just does not kind to you. So anyway, back to the Patreon, which I should promote instead of my old crippledness. what you get there is you get like a behind the scenes breakdown. So like I don't know how much that was visible on the screen there, but like there's a texture to the coloring and stuff, and essentially I've applied this kind of like old school kind of anime filter to it and stuff, which gives it a bit of which lightens the tone, puts a gradient on, and adds a bit of noise and texture to it. Otherwise it would look quite flat and everything. And so in the first issue, I've basically broken down like the amount of times I like the experiments and stuff, like how hard I went with it or how soft I went with it. And, mm-hmm. and then there's like the there's an extra step with anime when you apply an anime filter to like an old school 90s anime filter where you shift color hues and stuff, and like so like the page where Omar is running, you can see the amount of like experimentation I put into that to see how that would fit out and stuff, and then like and I then explain to you how I've done it and then why I've done it and stuff. So, and that's one of the behind the scenes shenanigans you'll find. And I don't know exactly what else I put in for issue one, but like it's basically my breaking down processes and stuff, which, you know, so you get the digital copy plus that, which I think is worth £3. And also it just basically means that it's not only are you going to get for £3.50, you're going to get like a comic plus the behind the scenes shenanigans. You'll basically say, oh, well, I really want to, you know, your support will make me go, well, this is worthwhile doing as well. So, you know, like, the cat who released Giant Days is basically doing that with his new venture. Like, you'll just, I thought, well, that seems like a good idea. And I'm not using Patreon properly enough anyway, so.
Yeah. And, you know, those behind the scenes are really important, especially for artists themselves, to kind of see what processes work, what processes don't, how it looks like when it's being utilized, and much more. Marcus, I mean, this was such an awesome experience. What's next for you in 2023? I mean, we're kind of halfway through the year. Do you have any other big plans, any other new titles or series that you're working on?
Well, obviously, issue two of Here Comes Dragon Punch will be, it's there's been a slight delay in it, but like, that'll be out sooner than later. Breach Containment 4 comes out, I had kind of left 13 Shots of Whiskey by the wayside because I was kind of feeling down about the fact that no one seemed to give a shit about it. But it's like, after doing the convention and thinking, well, I would, looking back over my work, thinking, well, I would actually quite like to go back into this mm-hmm. work. So there might be a volume, a third issue of 30 Shots of Whiskey in the interim. If I can do that in 7 weeks, like I did the last ones, I might do that. So, but basically, more importantly, I'm kind of building up my portfolio, because like it's cool to do stuff on my own, and it's cool to be like kind of like out there releasing shit, but I would really like someone to hire me as a comic book artist so I can do this properly full time. And, you know, because this is a lot of fun,
yeah,
but there's, you know, it's having fun, and it's like, well, I've got to support my wife, I've got to support my child and stuff. So the next few things you're gonna see released from me will be like kind of fan/portfolio pieces of like a Harley Quinn comic that I've done, and I'm currently drawing a Hellboy fan comic that'll be like, I sort of like, look at this cool shit that I've done, and hire me to do it for you too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next big thing, is to basically to continue releasing Here Comes the Dragon Punch, and hopefully someone hire me to draw them a comic, because I'm quite good at it. I don't see why you wouldn't.
No, and yeah, everyone who is interested, we'll have those links in the description as well. So make sure you commission Marcus and make it happen. Make this man's dream come true. Marcus, for anyone else who has a dream of becoming an artist and they're maybe having a hard time stretching that comfort zone, you know, trying something new, trying a different technique, what would be your biggest piece of advice to kind of help them ease their way into it and just start doing it?
Start doing it would probably be the easiest way to do it. I mean, right, so the most easiest way to get around these sort of things, like writer's block and all, and artist block, all this noise, is like have a goal. I used to be really bad at drawing cars, and now I'm better at drawing cars because this is the thing I need to tackle. And obviously, drawing cars is a pain in the ass, but once you get it done. And you can do it properly, and this is quite fun. So, like, it's better to be have like a goal oriented. Like, I'm doing this because, and then you'll just do it. You know, it's like it's quite a bit. You know, that's basically if you want to do it, just come up with a reason to do it. Like a goal the end. So that way, it's not a case. So that way, not only is your initial kind of like, well, that was fucking tedious to begin with. It's also like. Well, at the like, but it got easier, mm-hmm. and I've achieved something. So not only so it will flourish in something. Oh, that was worth it, you know.
And yeah. I think, you know, tricking your mind is a big part of it, right? I like to set timers. Like sometimes I have a hard time sitting down and focusing. So what I'll do is I'll set like a 15 minute timer, 30 minute timer. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing this as hard as possible for the next 15, 30 minutes. And then I can dick around a little bit after that. And it's like all that psychological like aspect of just tricking your mind into doing it. But it's that part of just tricking. This seems to be the hardest part. Marcus, this was an awesome chat. Thank you, dude. Yeah.
No, thank you. I like that timer thing though. I should implement that a lot more. That's a good idea.
I like the goal thing too. So I think we both kind of came up with some future tools for success. Marcus, I know last time you were on, we always ended with a piece of advice, but this time around, I am doing things a little bit differently. So outside of consuming or outside of creating, what are you consuming? You know, what are you watching? What are you reading? You know, if you play any video games, what are you gaming on?
I don't play. Unfortunately, I do not play video games because essentially, like, I don't have enough time. In terms of what I'm consuming, what am I consuming? The last mainstream comic I read that I really liked was I'm really bad. I can't remember the comics that the guys I was with at Con, but they were really good too. I've been watching Night Lady Hawk's stuff on YouTube, and I've been, you know, going back through her like kind of like emotional film analysis, and she led me on to 1917, which I had heard of and I hadn't bothered watching, and I watched that the other night. And that's a really good film. So that's what I've been consuming, just a kind of, yeah. And then I've also found, and this might not appeal to anybody other than me specifically, but like I found like a whole bunch of like remixes of stuff like of In Utero and Meteora and stuff like that with Mario 64 sounds, mm-hmm. and that's what I've been listening to.
That's so cool,
I'm
though.
Just being exact constantly, because it's the music I grew up with, but I also doesn't have lyrics, so I can kind of zone in and concentrate and stuff.
I really like listening to music that doesn't have lyrics into, where you could just kind of get lost into it, and like it almost like it's like your own soundtrack for what you're doing, right? It's like this is my theme music to get my work done today.
Pretty much, it's that and chiptune and Michael Chicano scores.
Oh, that is awesome. Marcus, once again, thank you for swinging by. Everyone watching, we're going to have all the links that you heard about today in the description below. Be sure to check them out. Be sure to commission Marcus as well. We'll have that link as well. Hire him to do your comic book work. Make it happen today. With that being said, it's time for us to wrap up. I hope you all have a lovely, lovely Thursday. But most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.